Our Father, how glorious you are. How wonderful are your ways. Mysterious. Unfathomable. Mighty. Powerful. Father, you've placed the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon, that have rested there and sat there for ages. Nothing lives and dies without your hand. You give us the very breath, the air that we breathe. How can we not just simply stand in awe and tremble before you? Father, we have those that we offer to you as prayer items. We give thanks, Father, for those that serve us well within our church, Lord. That provide music week after week, that provide the audio and the video and the technical aspects, Lord, that allow us to broadcast, to do things effectively. Father, we have servants that serve our children, teach them about Jesus. We have elders that overlook our church in the business of the church. We have those that pray. We have those that serve and get communion ready. And Father, we may think those things are insignificant, but they all matter. They all matter in the way that we serve you and how they're done. Reminded of Brother Andrew, who his job was simply to wash dishes. And he had the greatest times with you, Lord. Might we have the same experience of being in your presence, no matter what we do. Father, we ask your hand to be upon the fire situation in BC and Alberta. Lord, we pray that you would bring rain. That you would bring rain and douse the fires, Lord. That you would simply provide safety and security. Father, you provide provision for people that have lost homes. That you provide a friendly hand, a helping hand. Father, we know in the rest of the world there's places that have too much rain. Father, we pray that you would stop the rain and you would bring heat and dryness. But Father, we are so insignificant. We don't know your ways. We don't know why. But Father, you do say, come and ask. And I will answer. So we simply come and pray and do so in faith. You are a God that answers. Father, we give you thanks for our friends, Lord, and their daughter, that she is coming to realize things, and that she was caught up in a bad group of people that led her to do things that Mom and Dad just could not believe. We simply ask for your hand to be upon her, your spirit would move her. That her life and her heart and her mind would be restored to health. That she would once again be part of the family and want to be part of the family. Thank you for the transformation that's already happening within her. Father, we also pray that you be with Jake and Vera. Father, as they continue to deal with health issues and with Miles, with Karen, we simply offer them to you. We continue to pray and ask for your healing and wait upon you. Father, we pray for Norm, Lord, that the blood clots would be taken care of. Father, we thank you that he did not perish, Lord, but he was found and now can have help. We simply bow before you in that way. And Lord, we thank you that we can have the things that we can to enjoy the summer. We can vacation, we can have family, we can reconnect with friends. And Lord, we thank you that Kimberly was able to do that. And Father, we also thank you for the faithfulness, Father, that we have within our church walls. Those that would serve and lead, especially with our children. And Father, thank you for our Sunday school teachers that are willing to serve and teach our kids so that they might know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would not have a generation lost, but a generation reborn. We simply ask those things. And Father, we ask for your hand to be upon Jonathan. And he knows he's suffered the consequences of his actions, but Lord, we just really pray that he would come to know you, that he would make peace with you, that he would have a reconciliation with you, and that most of all, he would want to have help and seek help. So we echo Fern's concern and her prayers, Lord. And we give them to you. And we give you thanks that we can gather together and that we can worship you, we can praise you, and Father, that we can hear your word and we can pray to you and seek your face. And all these things we give thanks, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Kids can be dismissed to Sunday school. Follow Miss Donna out the back there if you'd like. This morning I'm not going to continue in 1 Peter. My plan was to continue in 1 Peter, but I didn't sleep much last night. So I got up, and something was on my mind, something was on my heart. Something that we went away on holidays, and our first part of holidays was going to a place called King's Fold, which is outside of Cochrane, right? Cochrane. And it's a retreat center that anybody can go to, and it's a spiritual retreat center in the mode of the Ignatius practice, which is contemplative, spiritually contemplative. And so Lynette and I were there for 5 days, and we'd never been there before, and a wonderful place. They got a big creek, river with a big creek running, or what do you call it? I want to say creek bed with a little creek running through it, and they've got about 25 acres of land, and you go hiking up in the woods, and they have a lodge where you stay, and they serve you meals every day. So we were fed really well. And we got everything for half price because it was our first visit. So that was a good thing. So Lynette and I had some time to relax and just recoup and just enjoy being in one another's company, reading, walking, enjoying the sun, enjoying the beauty of the mountains we could see in the distance through the smoke fog. And part of what they do there is you can do some silent retreats. You can do some fasting retreats. And they have some centers set up on their land. One is called Way of the Cross. And basically you go through these stations. And they lead you through a contemplative practice to bring you into and concentrate on the presence of God. And then they have these little chapels set up. There's a main chapel where you can go into. And I mean, the acoustics in there were amazing. But there was another little country chapel. And the chapel was enough for maybe four people to get inside. And you would end your Emmaus Road travel at the chapel. And so one morning, I decided I was going to go for a walk. I think Lynette had a sleep after breakfast. And I simply walked through this Emmaus Road. And the amazing thing is, as I was going to each station, I turned around at one point, and there was a deer looking right at me. I was like, what are you doing? And so I just had some fun with him, was looking at him and that kind of stuff, and then went to another station, and then another deer showed up and was looking at me. What are you doing here? It was like I experienced four deer in the whole thing, and it was peaceful. It was restful. It was like God was speaking, and we were simply just at peace with one another. The deer stood over there, chewing and watching me. And I'm just sitting here. But at the end of this, the Lord had given me a word. And the word was insignificance. So I took that, started thinking about that. And then Lynette and I, the one night we went into the solarium there. It's a place where they got all these plants and everything, and they got some little waterfall happening, and it's just a place to be at peace and just to read or rest or sleep or do some art, whatever. But on the way in, there's a little table, and it had a bunch of stones in it, and there's a little sign that says, pick one. So I'm like, okay. I didn't pick all of them and then take the one I wanted. I just simply picked one. And you were to take the stone and sit down and contemplate what that word would have to say to you. And the word said pilgrimage. I'm like, okay, pilgrimage. And then the Lord had given me another word of insignificance. Thinking about him going, pilgrimage of insignificance. Being insignificant. Does the Lord want us to be on a pilgrimage of insignificance? Well, that's really contrary to what the world says. The world says that you need to be on a journey of significance, that you need to matter in this world and you need to make a difference. So what about insignificance? Insignificance means small, like minute, of no concern. I go to my daughters and say, I want you to live a life of insignificance. Would you ever say that to them? Have you ever said that to your kids? Or to somebody else and go, hey, you know, you're a job interviewee and you're the boss and you go, hey, you know, I'm going to pick on Dick. Dick, I want you to do work of insignificance. You're going, what? That doesn't build profit. That doesn't make make, that doesn't pay the bills. But yet, Jesus, in John chapter 3, John the Baptist is going out before Jesus and he's baptizing people. He's calling them to repent of their sins and to be ready for the Lamb of God who is to come. Jesus has just been baptized by John in the river. John was like horrified. He's like, no, I should be baptized by you. Jesus says, no, this is right to fulfill all righteousness is that John, you baptize me. And then we have this picture that God the Father speaks and says, I am pleased with my son. So from there, Jesus and his disciples start baptizing people for repentance. For the kingdom of God is coming. But Jesus isn't doing the baptizing. Jesus' disciples begin to baptize. So John and his disciples are already baptizing people. And what happens is John's disciples are getting their nose out of joint. It's like, who are these guys that are baptizing? That's our job. John, we are John's disciples, and John has been given this ministry of baptism, of calling people to repentance. And who are these guys? Because they don't know who Jesus is. So John embarks upon teaching them and speaking to them and telling them, this is right. Jesus is the one who is to come. Jesus has been favored by God. He speaks the words of God. He is the one that is to be greater, and we are to be less. Jesus is to be greater, we are to be insignificant. So here's the story from John chapter 3. After Jesus has been baptized, and Jesus had been talking to Nicodemus, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went to the Judean countryside, where he spent time with them and baptized. John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water there. People were coming and being baptized since John had not been thrown into prison. Then a dispute arose between John's disciples and a Jew about purification. So they came to John and told him, Rabbi, the one you testified about and who was with you across the Jordan is baptizing, and everyone is flocking to him. John responded, no one can receive a single thing unless it's given to him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I've been sent ahead of him. He who has the bride is the groom, but the groom's friend who stands by and listens for him rejoices greatly at the groom's voice. So this joy of mine is complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word this morning. Be insignificant. That's Jesus' way. Because what matters when we follow Jesus is Jesus, not us. The message is what is of importance, not the messenger. But the messenger has to still deliver the message. So John and his disciples are delivering a message of repentance, to turn away from the wicked ways of which you're following and turn to God and be baptized. So people are repenting and being baptized. But John's disciples are getting jealous because Jesus' disciples are doing the same thing. They're grabbing the glory. More and more people are flocking to Jesus' disciples, and we are becoming less important. What's important? The message is still being proclaimed. There's a transition happening from John to Jesus. But the message is still the same. Repent and be baptized for the reconciliation of your sins. Be reconciled to God and be redeemed. Leave your old evil, wicked ways behind and grab a hold of new life. John essentially says Jesus is the Messiah. He says when you go to a wedding and you're the best man, you don't go and look upon the bride and desire that the bride was yours. That's not what it's about. What it's about is you're the best man for the groom, and you are in joy for the groom because he has met his bride. And you're there to stand beside the groom and take joy in his joy, in their joy. It's not about you. It's about the groom. It's about the bride. I must decrease, and the groom must increase. Jesus is the groom. John is the best man. The groom is now on the scene. The best man takes joy that the groom is in his glory. In our Christian walk, in the things that we get to do, the people that we get to serve, the things that Jesus brings into and out of our life, do we take joy in being the one being able to do those things, or do we take joy that Jesus is glorified? That the groom is glorified? Is it about me, or is it about Jesus? Being insignificant. John's disciples had a significant role. They were baptizing people and bringing people to repentance and into the kingdom of God. John chose us. He's the rabbi. They address him as rabbi, as teacher. It was a great honor to be chosen by a rabbi, that he would mentor you. He would teach you. That's you. What you wanted, that's what you desired, was to be chosen by a rabbi. And so they have good intentions. They're defending the honor of their rabbi, of John. This is his ministry. What are you guys doing here? You're taking his glory, but the glory actually belongs to who? To Jesus, to God. John tells them, this Jesus is God's word. He receives the word of God. He has the words of God. He is the significant one. I am the insignificant one. Jesus must increase. I must decrease. What is the Christian walk all about? What is our following of Jesus all about? It's all about him. It's about a transformation from us being significant in the world to being insignificant in Christ. Follow me? When we live lives of insignificance, when we can put aside those things that we think are significant to us and embrace those things that are significant to Christ, then we become insignificant. It does not matter who gets the credit. It does not matter who gets the glory. Because it's all about Jesus. We come to church on Sunday morning. Is it about us? No, it's about God. It's about Jesus, and that's how it should be. We are to be insignificant, and Jesus is to be raised up and glorified. He's the significant one. Interesting is that we're told Jesus could not have enjoyed such widespread success unless God had given it to him. And John's decline could not have occurred unless the Lord had willed it. 1 Corinthians 3:6, the Apostle Paul says, it is God who gives the increase, not you, not me. It is God who does so. When God sees a healthy church, when he sees people within it that are all in it together, and they all know that Jesus is the significant one, then the church is blessed. But if it's about us, if it's about our needs, our wants, our desires, then that church does not get blessed. Because we're saying it's about me. And it's not. It's about Jesus. It's about his glory. All power and ability, talent, intelligence, skill, beauty, everything comes from who? From God. Deuteronomy 8:18. But remember that the Lord your God gives you the power to gain wealth. Deuteronomy 8:18. Well, it's because of my ingenuity. It's because I went to school. It's because of my saving and all of that. It's because of what I did. That's not what Scripture says. It's because God has given you and me the ability to do those things, to be able to provide. It's because our focus is, he is significant, I am insignificant. John was delighted and gratified at the popularity of Christ, and his joy was made full. John 3:29. He says, so this joy of mine is complete. There was no competition here for John. He was probably relieved that he didn't have to carry this work anymore. That Jesus was now going to do it and continue on. He must increase, but I must decrease. I must become insignificant. John understood it was not about him or about his ministry. There was no competition. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is of the earth, and of the earth he speaketh. He that cometh from heaven is above all. John 3:31. I will walk in insignificance when I realize that I am only a man of the earth, made of dust. What significance do I have in light of the one who made the earth, who made the universe, who made me and the dust? We don't come from heaven. We don't reside in heaven. Do I view myself as being so? The greatest thing since sliced bread. Right? I think the greatest pilgrimage we can be on is one of insignificance. Because if we're on the pilgrimage of insignificance as Jesus did, then glory doesn't matter. You know, back in high school and junior high, I was a very good athlete. I won many races. I set many records that have been broken. I was MVP for basketball, for cross country. I was fifth in Alberta for cross country at one point in time. I was the athlete of the year in grade 12. But what significance do those accomplishments have in light of knowing the one who made the universe, who hung the stars, who paints a beautiful sunrise and sunset and can reset the foundations of the world with a mere virus, tornado, or a hurricane? Who loves us when we do not love ourselves? Who shared his son on a cross and we cannot depart with $20 for a homeless person or time for a good deed for somebody in need? It's because I value my time and my resources as being significant, but yet who made time? Who owns time? Who brings time to an end? Jesus. God. The striving for significance is to interrupt and steal God's glory, that he does not share his glory with anyone else. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. We do not partake in the glory of Christ given from God the Father. As John 17:22 says, I have given them the glory you have given me. May they be one as we are one. Jesus says, we are given glory. Just as God the Father gave Jesus glory, Jesus gives us glory. But what is the key? Jesus is the key. That we are in Jesus, following Jesus. Without Jesus, we cannot glorify God. Psalm 8, I believe it is. Where is it? Psalm 8 says this. Lord, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You've been covered. You have covered the heavens with your majesty because of your adversaries. I can't say that word. Adversaries. Thank you. You have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence and the enemy and the avenger. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you set in place, what is man that you remember him? The son of man that you look after him. You made him a little less than God and crowned him with glory and honor. What is man that you crowned him with glory and honor? It's in Christ. It's in God. We are insignificant, but yet Jesus, God, sees us and knows us. He knows everything about us. He knows the amount of hair on your head or the lack of it. But he knows us. He cares for us. And yet we are so insignificant compared to God. That is love. That is care. When we talk about Jesus, we tend to talk about Jesus coming to save us. That's salvation, that's the gospel message. And we tend to put ourselves in the middle. It's all about us. But you know what? Jesus came and saved us because of why? Because that was the Father's work for him. It's the Father who is at the center that Jesus glorifies. We are the beneficiaries of Jesus' work. of his obedience to his father. That glory that Jesus gives us is what? That glory is, Hebrews 12:10, is holiness. That glory is 2 Peter 1:4, which is partakers of the divine nature. And it's Romans 5:11, reconciliation. That we were reconciled with God. And that he calls us heirs. He calls us sons and daughters. So I am significant only in Christ, of God the Father, not of myself alone. So therefore, Jesus must become greater and I must become less. We need to embrace living a life of insignificance. Walking with Jesus with the Spirit. That's when Jesus can use a vessel. That's why John wasn't offended when Jesus and his disciples started baptizing and doing the same work that John and his disciples were doing, is because he knew that Jesus had to become greater, that Jesus was the Messiah, that he is the one that it was all about. And John was humble. He knew his life had no meaning apart from Christ. Jesus says, if I do not receive this truth, live this truth, obey this truth, I have nothing and am nothing. John 3:36. The one who believes in the Son has eternal life, but the one who refuses to believe in the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God remains on him. Eternal life is available for all who would obey Christ. John is telling his disciples this. Those who would continue in jealousy and not obey Christ and follow Christ will continue under God's wrath, he says. Salvation is by faith alone. True or false? Or partial? Salvation is by faith alone, yes. But obedient faith. Because in order to believe in Christ, I have to be obedient to that belief. Believe that Jesus is the Christ. And so I read, and so I pray, and so I do those things that Jesus would have me do. How do you live a life of insignificance? Four words. Do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. Maybe some of you are going, sitting back and going, I don't know, Pastor Shannon, you're sitting in the sun for too long. Right? But I don't think Scripture points to it, that in order to walk with Christ, we have to become less and he has to become more. Is it about me or is it about Christ? Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2:12 to the church, he says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. The Apostle Paul is talking about sanctification, which is holiness, which is devotion. We talked about that. Holiness is devotion. Work out your devotion to Christ. Where's your devotion to Christ? That's how we live a life of insignificance. And when we live a life of insignificance, then Jesus becomes significant. Let's pray. Jesus, this is an area where I struggle because I want to be significant. I think we all want to matter. And you're not saying that we don't have value because you know us. You love us. You made us in your image. But we can fall into the trap that becomes all about us. Comes about my schedule, my time, my talent, my abilities, my resources. And when that happens, we increase and you decrease. And you tell us to be the opposite. So Father, lead us on in this pilgrimage of insignificance so that you become to matter more than ourselves. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.